stolen by Frazier. Down the line with the photo, but it's gone!
Now has starts for Ewing. Ewing with the spin. Ewing, yes! Quick spin move from Anthony. Count it and one.
How's everyone doing on this Wednesday night? I'm Anthony, and I'm here with Bruno.
What's up?
We're gonna talk about the Knicks and the recent developments that we've been dealt with in the past week and a half. So number one story, I think, is Stoudemire going down probably for the year. That knee has given him enough issues throughout his career that we know it's not going to be 6 weeks.
Yeah, and he's owed a lot of money, but more immediately, he's pretty much out for the season, depending on what goes down in the playoffs. They say 6 to 8 weeks right now. How do you think this is going to affect everyone forward?
It's going to take some depth away from our bench. I think Stoudemire has been playing great as of late. He's been hitting his shots. He's been shooting a great percentage, especially when Melo went down. I mean, he really stepped up against the Jazz. And even the Thunder, he played a pretty good game. And then Melo went down, and he was forced to. I mean, Woodson put him in for 30 plus minutes, and next thing you know, we hear about this knee issue.
Yeah, it seems like it kind of came out of nowhere, really.
It really did. I mean, it wasn't during a game or anything. I mean, we know his history with the knee, but we didn't really expect this coming like this.
Yeah, apparently he had to drain the fluid out of both knees, from what I heard. And I guess that's a process that will leave him out. It required some surgery, which he had already. So now they'll say 6 to 8 weeks. But I think it came as a big surprise and kind of a bummer, considering that he was really starting to play well. His field goal percentage, you know, has been really good recently. But it's kind of sad to see a guy kind of finally fitting in, finally emerging, and then, you know, you hear this. It's kind of tragic.
To all the Knicks fans out there wondering why, with his recent performance, why Woodson wasn't playing him more than 20-something minutes, I mean, this is why. I mean, the knee is very fragile, I guess, and you know, Stoudemire has their history of it, and this is a huge blow for the Knicks. They say 6 weeks. That's pretty much through the whole regular season. We'll see if he could come back to the playoffs, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen.
I doubt it's going to happen. But now, so Amari's gone, and we didn't have him for about the first 3 months starting the season off. And we played really well. Defense was great. Offense was flowing. We were getting a lot of wins. Do you see this as a huge problem, as a small problem? How big of a deal is this?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, like you said, we started off the season so hot, and we were without him. The key is to get into a game plan where we're spreading the ball and playing defense like we were before. I mean, obviously, Amari's defense wasn't anything to brag about, but his offense was there. It's a blow to our depth and definitely to our back court, our front court. And hopefully Melo doesn't have any kind of issues with his knee coming up.
That's the thing. People say, well, are the Knicks better now without Amari Stoudemire, and that gives Carmelo Anthony kind of all the freedom that he needs offensively to flow to do his thing without having to worry about sharing the ball with another star. And I don't think the Knicks are better without Amari, only because we weren't playing those two guys at the same time. Amari was coming off the bench, and he was playing, even though he was on the court with Melo a lot of the time. He plays a different game, and then when you bring out Prigioni or some of those guys that are used to playing the second unit with Amari, they play that, they have that great pick and roll with him. You know, I think we're gonna miss that. We're gonna miss that punch with the second unit. I mean, JR is fantastic, don't get me wrong, but that low post presence, we just don't have anyone else to replicate that right now.
JR pretty much has a spotlight on him now in the second unit, definitely. Without Amari, he's our go-to scorer, especially if Steve Novak isn't hitting shots, which lately, I mean, he's either been on or off. He's been either hot or cold, and I think it's the difference between the Knicks winning a game comfortably or the Knicks losing a game sometimes.
Yeah, it seems when he plays well, everyone else is kind of also playing well.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the pressure. I don't know what it is. When they're winning, he doesn't feel as much pressure, and he just hits the shots. And when they need him to hit him, it's like he's nowhere to be found.
Well, after that Utah win, that was a huge win, and we played without Melo and Amari. They asked Steve Novak about his inconsistency, and he said, you know, tonight we had to make shots because we had no one else to rely on.
Yeah, and he went for a season-high 20 points, too. He stepped up where they needed him. He went 5 for 10 from three-pointers. And he actually he put some moves on him, too. He hit some shots off the dribble. It was good to see Novak have those kind of shots go in.
Yeah, he had that one off the dribble.
Off the backboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that little runner.
I was like, wow, then. Okay.
And Steve tell you Novak. What, too, Kenya Martin had a hell of a game that game, too. He shot a good percentage. He played great defense, which is why we got him in the first place. I think he's a great addition to the Knicks.
Yeah, I agree. He plays a tough defense. I think he had 5 quick fouls in both games he played. But, you know, I guess that's what he's kind of in there for. He kind of punishing the opposition kind of. He can afford to accumulate 5 fouls and the Knicks not really lose too much, especially on the offensive end. But I think now he's going to have to be a little more careful because his role is going to grow. He's going to have to play more minutes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I like the energy he brings to the table. He's still on that second 10-day contract, but I think he is. I don't think he got signed again. I think it's still in the 20-day period.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, but I think they're gonna sign him for the year. They need him. I think now, with Wallace out and Amari out, I mean the big men are just going down left and right.
Yeah, I do like the recent play of Camby, even though it was only a brief flash. I was surprised to see him in the game, and I don't know what game it was that I saw him in. I didn't see the Warriors game at all, because ever since they've been on this West Coast trip, I've kind of
been... I think it was the Utah game. The Utah game he played.
He played?
Yeah, he played like 14 minutes.
Yeah, I liked what he did there. I saw that game in pieces. It was a blowout, so I wasn't too interested.
The thing I like about Camby is that what he brings to the table is defense and the inside presence, so it's hard to drive on a guy that tall and that lanky, but... Unless, on the offensive end, he can't really pass him the ball too much because as soon as he gets the ball, he's not going to take a dribble. So he's good at setting screens and everything like that, but he's not a great offensive power.
And it takes him 30 minutes to launch that jump shot that he has.
Yeah, I think it takes him 30 minutes to run down the field.
Yeah, he can't take a dribble because it's a potential turnover every time. On offense, you know, that's not what he's there for anyway. He's there to get a block once in a while, just interrupt the paint area a little bit.
Yeah, clock up the hole.
Yeah, that's all. And, you know, if he plays 15 minutes, I'm happy with that because I kind of trust him considering that he's a veteran. He's been doing this for so long. I trust him there for those 14, 15 minutes that he's played.
But speaking of that Warriors game, what happened? What happened that game? Melo made his return. Everybody shot horribly. I don't know what happened. We scored 60-something points in the game. It was just bad. Did David Lee make that much of a difference for the Warriors? We scored 9 points in the fourth quarter, 12 in the second.
Well, I didn't see the game, as I said, but knowing the Knicks, I think we know what kind of team they are, and sometimes they're just a horrible decision-making team. When they don't have a clear leader on the floor, they just make bad decisions. They take horrible shots. They don't attack the paint when they should. They don't pass the ball at all.
They got to create opportunity to score. That's the bottom line. They did it against Utah. They obviously didn't do it against Golden State.
But the thing is, they didn't learn from playing Golden State the week before.
No,
like, they didn't. Just played these guys. Yeah, we know how they play. They're a fast offense. They shoot a lot of jumpers. They didn't have David Lee, granted. But
Stephen Curry was still on fire. Stephen Curry is still Stephen Curry, and you got to put a man on him. When he shoots 50% from the field, 6 for 10 from threes, I mean, something's wrong with our perimeter defense. And Klay Thomas went off, too. He went for 23 points, and he shot 9 for 18. He shot 50%.
Wow.
Something about these guards that the Knicks just can't guard them. They're always, it's always the other team, the opposite team's guards that put the dagger in the Knicks.
Well, I think the issue is that they get by those quick guards. I mean, and these aren't even – Klay Thompson is not a guy that attacks the paint. He doesn't go to the hoop. You know, he shoots, but he does it really well. And Steph Curry is the same. He doesn't make his living in the paint. Those guys are – shoot first guards, and they're extremely efficient at what they do.
Yeah.
But the problem with guards attacking the paint is when Shumpert or Felton or Kidd or Prigioni get beat off the dribble, now help defense has to come. And that our whole off defense collapses in that sequence, because now we have to, when we have to make adjustments defensively, I think guys lose track of where they're supposed to be.
Yep, definitely.
And we kind of get abused in that way. And it, we don't make it up in the offense like we were doing in early in the season when we were averaging 105 points or whatever it was. We're not doing that anymore.
Well, they better figure it out, because the playoffs are coming up, and this kind of defensive play isn't going to work in the playoffs. No. If they want to get out of the first round, and like I said, I don't want them to get out of the round in seven. I don't want them to go to seven in round one, you know, because that's just going to hurt us in round two. I want them to comfortably get past round one. And the way they do it is going to be doing it like they did in the beginning of the year. It's playing defense, hitting shots, and spreading the ball around.
Yeah, I think spreading the ball is something that needs to be stressed on that team. I mean, we see it. I mean, when I'm watching games each night, I see them doing passing the ball when they do, and it works all the time. Even Kidd, when Kidd is having a good game, is because before he takes that wing 3-point that he takes, the ball has been passed twice before it landed on him.
Right.
So everyone is in a rhythm.
Yeah.
And when that's happening, Steve Novak is more confident because he's not thinking about, you know, should I pass this shot because JR was doubled? I'm taking this shot because, you know, there's just a rhythm. He just feels it.
Shots in general are just, they have a higher percentage of going in if you're receiving it off of a pass. If it's an assist and you're having taken an open shot, as opposed to creating your own shot where you have to get the defender off you on your own. I mean, shots, you just got to spread the ball around. You can't run up the court and just launch up a three.
Yeah, which they do all the time. And as a viewer, as a fan, I'm like, what the hell was going through JR's head? Because he's pretty much the guy that does it all the time. What the hell is going through his head that he thought that was a good decision? And I want to bring this game up because I was so furious at the end of this game when we played Oklahoma City. And we played a great game. I thought we outplayed those guys.
I can't believe we didn't talk about that yet.
We outplayed those guys, in my opinion. I thought we were – it was one of those games where I felt like, okay, even though we're down four, we're down five, in this game, we're under control,
and
we can easily go up 10.
And it's one of the best teams in the league right now.
But
you got to feel good about that.
Those final two possessions, and four, I don't blame JR. I mean, I kind of do, but mostly I blame Mike Woodson
for drawing up a play like that. Just ridiculous with 8 seconds left on the clock.
Well, the play before that, the possession that we had before that, where it was we went for the two for one because I think there was 32 seconds on the clock.
Right.
So what we did, we walked up the ball and we called the timeout. Fresh off the timeout, we just chuck up a three.
Yeah.
In 2 seconds, there's our possession gone. No execution whatsoever. Possession's gone. These guys get the rebound and they score and go up by one, I believe.
I mean, and that was the rant. I hit that layup. You gotta drop a better
play.
Offensive play than that.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Go to the hoop. That was working so well all night. What are you doing?
Don't just launch up a three with no time. Like, I don't know.
And then
the opportunity to win a game against the Thunder like that.
They get the ball back with 8 seconds and they're only down one. So a free throw, a foul against for them will win this game if they sink two free throws.
Yeah.
But what they do is they inbound the ball to JR in that corner. He gets doubled. He gets trapped. And then he throws up a shot that as soon as he turns around for this jump shot, my head was already down.
Yeah.
I knew it was over. Like,
drive to the hoop.
You have 8 seconds.
Draw the foul.
You have four teammates.
You're down by one. Dude.
You have 8 seconds, four teammates. Attack the hoop. Get a foul. Win this at the foul line.
Yeah. And when you're double teamed, you know there's got to be a man open somewhere.
Yeah, but it's like,
spread the ball around, you know?
I hate the way we lost that game. I love the way we played that game, but I just hate the way we lost that game, man, because that game was ours.
Yeah. JR didn't have a bad night that night either.
No, everyone played well. Everyone played well. We played these guys really well, considering that we're playing the combo of Durant and Westbrook, who combined for the most offensive points in the league.
Yeah.
And we were without Carmelo Anthony. We played really well. We moved the ball. You know, we were very efficient defensively. Defensively, we made a big difference, too. I mean, I was so mad when we lost that game. So mad.
Yeah, understandably. I mean, that's a game you want to see the Knicks win, especially if you consider the Knicks as a contender team that could actually, you know, have potential of beating the Heat.
You know, that's a big question. Can we beat the Heat?
Can anyone beat the Bucks? That's a big question too.
Can we beat the Bucks?
So yeah, the Bucks. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say we could beat the Bucks. I'm liking the Hawks too. Like I said before. I hope we play the Hawks. But we'll see. We have 5.5 weeks left. I mean, there's still a lot of games to be played, but also not really. So you like to?
We got about 22 games left after tonight. Tonight we're in Denver.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great game. Coming home. Play that coming home music for Carmelo in Denver.
Yeah, they'll love that.
Yeah. It's not just coming home for Carmelo. It's coming home for JR, Kenny Martin.
Raymond Felton. James White.
James White, yeah.
I thought he was in Israel or something last year.
No, it's going to be a good game, though. Denver's a good team. That's a road win that the Knicks should definitely strive to win. And it'd be a good tell if they do win it. Hopefully Melo's 100%. Last game, he played horribly. To say the least, he didn't hit that many shots. He was limited in his mobility. And then after the game in the press conference, he kind of attributed it to his knee injury. But at the same time, if you're not feeling 100% your knee, I don't think you should be in the game. And hopefully tonight that's the case. I don't know if is he definitely playing tonight? Is he a game time decision?
I think he's definitely playing tonight. They're considering. Apparently, he needs his knees drained. Also, I gotta look into this knee draining business. I'm not sure what this is really. Jeez. But it's a popular injury in the NBA. So they're debating whether they should do that now and kind of bring him back for.
I thought it was sore. I didn't think he needed drained.
I don't know. Man. I'm not one of these doctors. I just know what I read or what I skim through anyway. But I just heard a few minutes ago that a report, and I don't know. Obviously, these things get exaggerated, but it said that Melo may never be 100% for the rest of his career.
Oh my God! Don't tell me that. Oh boy. Let me get two dead contracts on a payroll if that's the case.
But yeah, that was the report. I mean, I don't know how valid that really is.
We'll see. We'll see how Melo plays in these next coming games. I mean, that's the thing. If it's an injury like that, he just played on Monday. He obviously didn't do well. He attributed his bad game to the knee. And then, I mean, 2 days later, you're in Denver and you're going to make the guy a play. I would sit him. I would sit him, save him for the playoffs. We also got another game tomorrow in Portland. I mean, sit him. We're going to need him. We're going to need him. If Melo goes down, then we're in big trouble offensively.
I don't think we save him for the playoffs because there's too much time between the playoffs and now. And right, but if we were to shut him down.
Even back-to-back games, you don't want him. I don't think you should be playing back-to-back if he's complaining about his knee. I mean, didn't he tell Woodson even before he got hurt that he wanted to be taken out of the game?
Yeah.
And then he tripped over himself and got hurt even more. I mean, I don't know. I'd rather err on the side of caution than take the chance at the end of the regular season. We have the second seed right now, believe it or not.
Yeah. Still have the second seed. Indiana's going to steal that. I'm pretty sure they're going to steal that. They're just a little more consistent than we are. I don't know if they're better than we are, but they're definitely more consistent in their play. They don't blow teams out by 20 and then get blown out by 30 the next day.
Yeah.
But considering all our injuries, all our lineup changes, all our, you know, everything that's been going on with guys playing, missing the first half of the year and coming back and our team constantly having to adjust, I think we're in a decent position.
Yeah, it's the best you could hope for. Second seed is definitely with everything you just said. Second seed is definitely the best position that we could be in right now. We're not going to pass the Heat.
No. So our starting five, Amari's out. Assuming Melo's in, not 100% sure he's going to play tonight, but he should play tonight. Are we still starting James White?
I don't know, actually. I think we should start Chris Copeland. I think he's better offensively than James White is. And usually when we get blown out, we put him in. He ends up being our best scorer. He was actually our best scorer against the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, but is he... I don't know if he's going to have that same impact when he's starting.
There's only one way to find out. And you know what? We got nothing to lose at this point. I mean, we do, obviously.
We have a lot to lose at this point.
Obviously, we do. But why not try it out? Because I don't know. We want to know how we're going to do in the playoffs, and we want to have our best available squad. And if Chris Copeland is the next Jeremy Lin, I think we should give him a chance.
Yeah, break.
No, I don't know about that, you know, but I'm just saying, putting it out there, give the guy a chance. Let him be in the starting lineup, see what he could do. Worst case scenario, you lose that game, and you bench him the next one.
What about starting Kenyon Martin?
Kenyon Martin, I don't think should start. I think he should come off the bench because we already have Chandler starting. I think Kenyon Martin and Chandler should not be on the floor at the same time because they're both defensive powerhouses in our lineup.
You know what I think may have been a mistake, and not a grave one, but was trading, what's his name? I don't even remember his name.
No.
To the Thunder?
Oh,
Corey Brewer?
Ronnie Brewer.
Ronnie. We shouldn't have traded him because he fills that spot that we don't have, which is like a three. He's our three guy.
Yeah, but I don't know. He really wasn't doing anything for us.
He was in the beginning of the year. He was playing solid.
I don't know about solid. He was playing decent. He was hitting his shots, but towards the end, he wasn't even hitting free throws. Like, he was missing open jumpers. His free throws were off. Like, I was just cheering for this guy to make a point in a game, and he couldn't. He really couldn't
but
do
he
it.
He barely played, and we made fun of him for that, yeah. You know, because he contributed. He was, like, negative when he was in there for 2 seconds. But he is the only guy, because, look, we got Chandler 5 and Melo at the 4. So who do we have at the 3 that can, you know, we have
Novak.
JR, no. Novak, he's another. He can't defend.
Yeah, he can't defend at
Copeland,
all.
Copeland, he's another. Can't defend. I JR think, can, but we need him off the bench.
Yeah.
Kenyon, we can't bring him because he plays the 4.
That's true. I don't know.
So Brewer would
really have nobody.
Had he been playing decent, and had we foreseen Sheed not returning and Amari going down, I don't think they would have made that trade. What do we get for him?
We got a draft pick.
Okay, so what we really got is a free roster spot to sign Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
I prefer Kenyon Martin over Brewer.
I do too. Don't get me wrong, but now
we could have dropped him.
We have a.
I see what you're saying.
Know, we could potentially have a roster spot.
Yeah.
Because that is like starting James White for 8. You know, letting him play 8 minutes. What does that do?
Nothing,
you know,
really.
And when I mean, see him, I'm like, you know, this guy, is he going to dunk on somebody? No, he never does, ever.
No, I think he's too, when he gets in the lineup, I think he's still a little nervous. I don't think he has all the confidence that he should have being in the lineup. And you see that with his hesitation on shots.
He doesn't drive the ball. When he pretends to drive, he'll kick it out. Not necessarily to an open guy, just to the first guy that he can get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, he's not effective, which is my point. He starts, but the only reason he starts is because we need a placeholder in that spot until our real second unit comes in.
Right.
And our team gets mixed.
Well, who do you think should be in that spot? You think James White's our best option? I mean, he's only playing 5 minutes a game at most, even if he does start.
Right. And after that, we would bring in, you know, Amari and JR and Steve Novak, and then, you know, we get the rotations going.
Yeah.
But for those first 5 minutes, got James White, baby.
Yeah.
Making moves.
So the Knicks are 0-1 on the current 5-game road trip. We got 2 back-to-back games. We got tonight against the Nuggets, like we talked about. And we got tomorrow against the Blazers. And then Sunday we play the Clippers at Los Angeles. And then we play the Utah Jazz again on Monday. We are back home after that. We play the Magic at home on Wednesday, and then we have back-to-back against the Raptors.
And if the Knicks don't get it together, they're going to be real homesick real soon.
They're already 0-1 on this road trip, and Mike Woodson actually came out and said before the road trip that he'd like to take 3 out of 5. I think that's a little pessimistic. I mean, as a second-place seed in the East, I kind of want to have a little more confidence for my head coach than saying 3 out of 5. I mean, these aren't great teams we're playing. Yeah, they're mostly playoff teams. I mean, the Clippers are good. The Nuggets are good. I mean, the Warriors obviously kicked our ass yesterday. And the Jazz are over 500.
Jazz play well at home. They're a horrible road team, but they play well at home. The Nuggets are the best Western Conference team at home.
Yeah.
They're 28-3.
I'm nervous about the Nuggets, but there's going to be a lot of emotions riding on that game too. But what do you think about the comments that Mike Woodson made about going 3-5?
I mean, I think it's a realistic approach to the situation.
I mean, I would be more comfortable if he said it after Golden State's loss. All right, 3 out of 5 now. Yeah, we have 4 left. But
so he's saying 500 going forward.
Yeah, pretty much. Now we're, I mean, now, yeah. Now it's.
Well, now we got to win.
You got to win 3 out of 4 now.
Yeah, I think he was hoping that we'd come out strong against that Golden State team.
Yeah, I was too. I'm not going to lie.
But I think the real challenge is going to be tonight's game and that Clipper game.
Yeah, Blazers tomorrow should be a win. I don't want to.
You would think so, right? You would think so.
I've seen the Knicks lose to the Wizards this year, so who knows?
Maybe if Melo gets hurt, we win all 4. You never know. They start moving that ball around, start hitting those jumpers.
That's the key. The key is ball movement. The key is creating offensive situations where you could get to the hoop and hit high percentage shots. That's the bottom line. That's what the Knicks have to do. And they got to play defense too.
How do they play defense against a Nuggets team that is going to start running
way younger and way faster? Yeah, I don't know. I think the Nuggets go for over 100 points tonight.
If the Nuggets start off really hot, they get the crowd behind them. Melo's in the building, so they're going to be
Getting in his head. And you know how he reacts under pressure.
Who?
Carmelo.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen what he did to Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. I don't know if he folds, but at least when he's angry, he folds.
He definitely doesn't let it go. Let's just put it that way.
He becomes a selfish player. He takes it personally. Yeah.
He takes it personally. That's the problem.
Hopefully he doesn't do that tonight. He realized that he needs everybody to play well for them to win.
That's the thing. He has to get over that whole thing because in the playoffs, people are going to boo you. I mean, they're going to get in your head. They're going to do everything they can to win. It's the playoffs. It's the NBA. It's a competition. The champion, you got to play in adversity. We all know that.
Yeah, I expect to say the Knicks will be winning this game is a stretch, I think.
Against the Nuggets?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, hopefully they keep it close and hopefully they do win it. It's going to be tough. I think it comes down a lot with Chandler. Chandler might have a big game. They don't have a big.
They don't have a big man.
They have who is it, Costa Kofis?
And they have the human highlight reel in your boy. What's
his name? JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, he plays about 18 minutes a game. He just, I don't know.
Just creates YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's, yeah. He should be reading a book on the sidelines.
I think they'll, we're watching the Thunder game. I think a fight's about to break out. I don't know. They cooled off.
That's an edit.
I think what the Knicks should do is they should play the pick and roll with Felton and Chandler, kind of own the paint.
Yeah, I think that's our best chance, and we got to play good defense too. I don't know how many minutes Kidd's going to play because I think he's going to be a liability on defense. But I think need him. Who else do we have? You know, Shumpert and Felton can't play the whole game.
Right, and Felton. He's not a very good defender.
I don't know who's Dean Gallinari.
Like kind of sketchy.
Who's Dean Gallinari? You think Carmelo? Or JR.
Yeah, definitely Carmelo. Yeah. Those guys, I like watching those two guys play.
Yeah,
one against each other.
Yeah, you know why?
Other.
Because they have like something to prove to each other. Because they're both involved in that trade, and I think they both want to show that they're the better man.
And do you remember before that Melo trade, when the Nuggets came to New York, and you know Gallinari was like in his fourth year, maybe he was like still developing, but coming into his own under D'Antoni. And I remember when the Nuggets came to town and he said to the media that he wanted to guard Melo. He's like, I'm going to guard Melo tonight.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I was like hyped about that. I was
that
like,
might,
yes,
that Gallinari. That started it off right there.
And then there was that trade a couple months after. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. They haven't played. Surprisingly, they haven't played since the trade.
Wow. That's,
I'm sorry. Melo hasn't played in Denver since the trade.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's different. Yeah,
well, I was trying to figure out how the hell that could be possible. And it's because last year we had a shortened season. And that just wasn't included in the
schedule. Dwight just had his first homecoming yesterday against the Lakers, and he scored 25 points on free throws out of 39.
Yeah.
So he really won it for them there.
Yeah, he made a lot of free throws.
Yeah.
Started off 1-for-9.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So he was like pretty much 30-for-30 after that.
Yeah, he played a shot surprisingly well after that. This question has been like popping up here and there. Do you think the Nuggets won the Melo trade?
I think I might have referenced it last week a little bit. Like I said, they have the better regular season record, and if you look at that, then it's easy to say, yeah, they have more depth, they have more youth, and they have won more games. But I think,
and they don't have the salary cap restrictions that we do.
And if the Melo injury is worse than we think it is, then yeah, it's easy to say that the Nuggets definitely won that trade. But I think the Knicks have a better playoff team than the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets have a better regular season team than the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't think the Nuggets do well in the playoffs for some reason. And I think that reason is
they don't have that X factor. They don't have that superstar, that go-to guy that they need in clutch situations. And we do, hopefully.
Yeah, we do. We're supposed to have two of them, but we still have Carmelo. And you saw two years ago when we played Boston in the first round, where Chauncey Billups was out and Amari Stoudemire was out, and he dropped, I don't want to say 65. He dropped a ridiculous number of points, like 50 points on the Celtics. We still lost the game and got swept. But that's what the X factor does, though.
That's what he does. He carries your team. Yeah, pretty much. You take the team, you put it on your shoulders, and you just carry it to a win. And we've seen Melo do that plenty of times this year. But obviously, the Nuggets are a good team. They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of speed. They have a lot of youth. And they're just a fun team to watch overall.
Yeah, I don't think they're built to be a playoff team. I think in a seven-game series, you kind of figure that team out and you beat them. That's what's been happening. Obviously, it's been happening to us too, but I feel like our team is still kind of figuring things out. Our team has been slow to kind of get it together.
It seems like we still haven't been figured out. Like
we don't. We're still talking about Ronnie Brewer.
Yeah. I feel like that's been the question for the past like 3 years. It's like, who are the Knicks and how are we going to are we going to get this team together and really
I think we
come up with a winning strategy.
I think we or they discover that by having a tough first round playoff series victory. They need to win.
Yeah.
Even if it, you know, the Bucks, the Hawks, whoever. We need to have a real playoff series in the first round, the second round, doesn't matter. But I think those types of series kind of bring a team together. You know, you kind of see, I think guys kind of step up in that, in those moments. And some guys don't step up in those moments. And then that's where you figure out, okay, here's our strong points and here's our weak points. This is how we attack. This is how we defend. And you kind of learn more of a system for your team. The regular season, you're trying things out. But the playoffs is really like, okay, now we've had time to figure things out. Let's put it to the real test and see if we can, you know, outplay another team in a series of seven.
Well, we got 5.5 weeks. I can't wait to see what the Knicks are capable of doing. It's been way too long since the Knicks have won a playoff series. And Melo has yet to win one. So we'll see.
No, he's won one in Denver when they got Chauncey Billups.
They won a series?
Yeah.
They won one.
When you get a guy like Chauncey Billups on your team, he will straighten that team out.
Yeah.
He will.
Well, the veteran leadership, and he was a lot younger back in the day.
He's a true veteran leader. I was a little upset that we used that contract exception on him last year or 2 years ago. We let him go.
Yeah.
When we could have used it on Amari now.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. Let's wrap the show there. The game's about to start. We're going to watch it. We're going to hope for the best. Watch these Knicks play. Hopefully Carmelo plays and he's healthy, get back to form. And we hopefully will see you guys this weekend with another update on this road trip.
Hit us up at KnicksFanCast at Twitter. We'll be answering questions and taking any feedback we could get. And
we're not going to do any of that.
I'm Anthony and he's Bruno, and we'll see you next week.